Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
The generation coming up can't go learn like I learned. It just can't do it. It's outdated. It's done. Forget it.
Hey everybody, this is Alex Lindsay, and of all the Mac breaks that we've done, we've done a lot of them, it seems to be one of the favorites has been our road to 1080p, so we thought we'd update this a little bit. We've done a lot more shooting over the last year. You saw what we shot a year ago, and we've had a couple shoots since then, and we've gotten a little bit smarter, and we're still challenged by some things. And so, but anyway, we thought we'd give you a little bit of an insight into some of the stuff that we're doing, some of the stuff we didn't show in the first one, and then also just some of the new stuff that we're doing that we're hoping makes MacBreak a little easier to produce. Now, a lot of our goal here is not, you know, MacBreak is obviously we're big Mac heads and we want to talk about a lot of that, but it's also trying to figure out how to do this efficiently and effectively so that we can do lots of shows like MacBreak and make them successful. So let's take a look at what we have here. This is a little slideshow, and we're just going to draw on it to give you an idea of what's going on. So a couple things, and we'll touch on a couple things a few times. Of course, we talked about this before. These are the little Kinos. These provide the lighting that we need to make everything work. These are what we call tungsten balanced. So they're designed to work with other indoor lights. So you can have tungsten balance is just the color temperature that we're using. That means that we can use it with other lights like this one here, which is a tungsten lamp. This and there's a lot of names for this, but this big diffuse light here is a bunch of lights inside that are inside of basically kind of like a silk. And what it does is it creates a big diffuse light that goes out. Diffused light is really, really nice for a lot of this stuff. We tend not to like hard lights. It makes it much harder to composite and deal with and everything else. So that's kind of important to us. All to give our general lighting, general directional lighting, we're using this. This is a 1,000-watt tungsten light with a big what is called a chimera, or depending on who you talk to. And what this does is once again creates a big diffuse. There's a big white area right in the front here that makes it nice and diffuse going out, and that gives it kind of that big soft look. Almost any time you see an interview, they're using something like this to create that kind of soft from one direction kind of look. And so we're doing the same to kind of make that work. A couple other things that you'll see that we've changed, and we'll talk about this a little bit more. One of the things you'll see, and I think we had this in the first one, you'll see down here, a lot of people ask us why we cover up the green screen. Well, the reason is we're not shooting it, and the green affects everything. So if you have these are big lights. I mean, it's reflecting green. And if we have a lot of green down here, it'll reflect green up. And that's going to hit our subjects, and we don't want that to happen. We want it to happen as little as possible. One of the things that we did change, as you can see, we have this super expensive table here. This is a little fold-up table sitting on some what we call Apple boxes. Technically, that is the technical term. The movie industry is the funniest thing in the world about Apple boxes. So these are Apple boxes. These are full-sized Apple boxes. You can have half and quarter. Up here, by the way, you know, these are all attached by what we call C47s, otherwise known as clothespins. So anyway, so the so we have this is a tabletop now. One of the things you're going to notice in the new MacBreaks is you're actually going to be able to see the table. And this was a huge mistake of ours in the first round, which is that we tried to use green screen here, and we figured we would just put a digital set in. But with everything sitting on it and their hands and everything else, oh my goodness, there was a lot of guys that had to do a lot of work on that. So that was a big mistake that we have since corrected. We thought it was going to be, we're going to have to spend, you know, hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars on a tabletop. And this ended up being a tabletop. It was blue, I think, when we bought it. And this came from IKEA. And so this little tabletop, you can actually buy just the tabletop from IKEA. And we bought this for about $40. And then we just threw it on a little table here. And what we're going to do is then add a CG table underneath. But that's a lot easier to just deal with the underneath part and not actually have to deal with the interaction between something that's constantly moving. We're still using mostly locked cameras. Another advantage of doing this, and one of the things you're not going to see in the first couple shows from this shoot, but you're going to see in future shoots, is you're going to start seeing 3D moves at the beginning. So we're going to put these guys on this top part on a card and get a wider angle. We can actually, once we do this, we can push back further and actually move in the computer. We can push in on the on our foreground elements, and it's going to make it feel like a lot more 3D, even though, you know, it's not. So it's all about cheating. You know, that's part of film, right? So anyway, here's another angle of this. You can see a little bit more of, you know, us covering this up. Now, a lot of times you put these out anyway because you don't want to step on your green screen and leave marks, because then you'll have to deal with them later. So we try to protect it as much as we possibly can. You'll see that we've also closed the camera angles. So what we found is that a straight ahead angle and about a 45 degree angle. The last one, when we shot for a couple episodes, we were shooting almost 90 degrees from the cameras. And that really just didn't give, you know, it gave too much of a profile, and we didn't really like that much. So so we chose to get this 45 degree angle, and we're pretty happy with the angles that we're getting now. So we're probably going to keep it more that direction. We're using the 950, which we talked about in one of the earlier episodes, that we're capturing straight to drive. In this case, we're also using an F900. An F900 is kind of the baby brother or baby sister of the 950. This one only shoots 4:2:2, which means that the color is half the resolution, which makes our keying a little bit harder, but it's not that big of a deal. And 4:4:4, which is what we really like, which is our camera. So, but we rented this camera, and there's a company called VideoFax here in the city that rents out the 900, and they have all the equipment, and you know, they've been doing this for 30 years, and so we work with them a lot. One of the things to think about when you're doing podcasts, especially if you want to have a lot of quality in them, is that you don't, you know, actually have to buy everything that you're using. A lot of times we've really, you know, and we thought we'd have to buy everything. So we were always thinking about, oh, how we have to spend this much on a camera and this much on lights. When you're getting started, the thing to remember is that you can just rent the camera. So now this is not an exceptionally cheap rental. A 900 costs maybe $1,200 in a day. But when you think about shooting 20 shows, it's only adding a certain, you know, or let's say we shoot 12 shows. It means that it's only adding $100 per show to the cost, which for us is reasonable given the size of the show. If you are little cameras like a HVX200 or even a DV camera, might only cost you $250 for the day. And so when you amortize that over a whole bunch of shows, it's not that big of a deal. So rental, you know, renting a light kit, for instance, is only about $75, although most of this stuff came with the set. Once again, we're shooting this at the San Francisco School for Digital Filmmaking, which is just an incredible, incredibly great location for what we're doing. So we're really, really happy with them, and we're really fortunate that we're able to shoot there. And so let's go up here and let's look a little bit more. Now here you can see the basic setup here. We've got the sound. Their mics are coming out and coming in here to this mixer. This gives us a little bit more control over the sound here. Now the mixer then goes into is then fed into Final Cut Pro. So we're actually capturing the sound. With all of the sound is actually being captured in with the signal. One of the kind of interesting things is the sound's way off. So when you go through this many stops, when you start here and then you go through here and then you go down into the board, you actually end up starting to get delayed. So the sound actually is behind the video. And we'll talk about how we fix that later in the software end of things. But you have to kind of, you know, deal with that. But it gives us enough refined control. A lot of times we also split everything out to cameras. And so you'll see this right here. This little box here is an XLR splitter. So it'll take in two input. It'll take in a input and then split it out to two. And that lets us go to different cameras. And we do that a lot. Now, another thing that's kind of hidden here, and I should have taken a better picture of it, but this little RAW drive is really cool. So this is just a RAW drive, a cheap drive. One of the problems with MacBreak is that we go through an enormous amount of hard drive space. We have two of these X-Raids over here. And we have to figure out ways to back things up. And one of the ways that we found that to back a lot of the stuff up is just use these raw drives. And so these drives, They're just internal drives, but there's this little thing by Weebitech that goes into the back that just interfaces straight to the drive and gives us a FireWire out. So we're able to just plug this in like it was any other drive and then back stuff up to it. Then we just throw it in bubble wrap and throw it in the corner, but it's just a backup. But the key is that we don't have to throw it away, and we don't have to pay for the enclosure, and we're getting pretty much the same thing. It's not for stuff you want to use every day. You obviously don't want to move it around exposed like this all the time. But for doing backups, we find it to be really, really useful. Also, you'll notice my Nalgene bottle. I don't leave home without it. Anyway, so here's a kind of a wider shot here, and this is, once again, you used to see a drape here. And we're not worried about it, because what we're going to do is we're just going to garbage math all this stuff out. So we're just going to draw a line that says, because we're still locking the shots off, which we're going to probably change next year, where we're going to start actually putting a jib in here and start moving the camera around. But for right now, we're not doing that. And so we can just draw a line here in our compositor and say, you know, everything below this is going to get cut off. So we really don't have to worry about putting green screen down here or seeing their legs. It just was an extra thing that we didn't have to deal with. And that's why it's not there. So, of course, we've talked about this before, but that's the CCU. That's what this camera actually feeds into. And then it splits off the signals. You have a little huge RAID down here. And this is all using a Kona 2 card. So this is the little Kona outputs here that we go into the G5. And then it goes out. And here's all the little stuff that you saw before. Let's look at this here. So you're going to see more of this. Here's this is once again the fiber cable, and a lot of the stuff we already covered in the last episode or in one of the first episodes if you go way back. Now, one of the other additions that we've made is one of our big things is that we're trying to get to a point where we can basically comfortably do 12 to 20 shows a day. And that's a lot of shows. It's kind of a Ford Motor Company way of approaching this stuff. We think that that's going to be the way to make them affordable and make them something. And we're pretty close to this now. I mean, so we started off, to give you an idea, when we shot the first one, the one that you saw on Rode 1080p before, it was a disaster. I think we only ended up using like two shows from the entire thing because we screwed up so many different parts of it. So we shot again and we got, 26 shows that we were able to use out of 2 days. Now we're shooting about 12 to 15 shows a day. And we didn't schedule enough content. So we actually had more time than we had people to talk about stuff. So that's the next step. Now, there's a lot of things we want to do with MacBreak. We want to make it more interactive. We want to make it more about hardware. There's a lot of things that we've wanted to do that we haven't done yet, but that's kind of where we're going. Now, what this is here is Geffen makes this DVI switcher, which is pretty cool. And there's two pieces to it. One is that we have what's called a 4x2 DVI switcher. So this gives us four inputs. So we can have four different computers going in and up to two outs. So what we do is we have these going out. So you have the monitors going, all the G5s down here go to these monitors and then go to the switcher. And then what we're able to do is we're actually able to view these from these computers or from the monitor up front. One of the things you'll notice is there's no computer up there in the front. There's just a monitor. So we run that signal out there. That way, A, we can run a lot of stuff from back there. And this will switch the USB. It'll switch, so the keyboard, everything gets switched back here. But it allows us to all of this stuff to happen, so they can control it up there, but the computer's not up there. It also means that we can have a bunch of people all getting ready to go at the same time. So we don't have to sit there and wait for people to load stuff onto the computer while somebody else is recording. We can have guests coming up. For instance, here you can see Kenji getting ready. So Kenji's working on this one while what's actually going on is they're recording off of another one. So if we go up here, back here is where they're recording off of right now, but Kenji's getting his stuff set up for the next one. And this allows us to kind of mass produce this. Now, this works because we have the switcher, which is part of it. The second part is this extender, which is kind of cool. What you do is you hook this extender in, and what it'll do is with this in combination of the switcher, it just uses gigabit Ethernet to go out to the main. So there's two pieces. There's one on this side, and there's another box like this on the other side. And it'll send the USB connection, all that stuff gets sent out to the front, and it can go up to 150 feet or something. It's kind of nifty. So that's made a huge difference in our efficiency as we've gone through all of this stuff. So let's This is a shot of the 900. Now, there's a couple things going on here. This is a big battery. So this is a huge battery. And we have the batteries, the charge for these kind of batteries is like a jet engine that's kind of hidden in the background. This is what we call a Miranda. This is not what we call. This is what is called a Miranda box. This little box here takes the video signal out of the 900 and converts it to either DV or SDI. What we call the signal that we're bringing in through the Kona card is what's called an HD SDI signal. And that is the and this one is a single HDI SDI. The 950 is a dual HD SDI, but this is bringing that data back into the computer if we want to. We chose not to. We were using a huge RAID for the 950, and then for this we were using an X-RAID, and we had a lot of trouble with the X-RAID. It turned out to be our fault, not Apple's fault. We just had some cache issues, but we wish they weren't default a certain way. But we didn't quite get it solved, and so we went to just captioned actual tape, which is seems kind of antiquated to us, but you know, it is what it is. And so here you can see. Now, by the way, this is an episode that you'll really enjoy when you get here. Which is this is Kwesi Collison, and Kwesi is he's one of the executive producers for Conversations with Other Women. And he's going to talk about some of the effects that they did there. I know some people say that we do too much graphics stuff, but we're graphics people, and we're trying to do a lot more automator and operating system stuff too. So just in case people are worried about it. Also, you'll notice here there's a lot of note taking. We try to take as many notes as possible about things that work and not work when you're on the set. It's a lot easier than, you know, it's amazing how quickly you can forget stuff when you're actually back editing and working. This is, by the way, we shouldn't really be doing this here, which is all these pieces of water. At least they're all closed. So open water near the computers is, you know, bad. So finally, a couple of things that we're doing here. Some people have been trying to figure out how we can keep everything synced. So this is your standard slate. This is a slate that you would normally have here. And what we have here is, you know, we're going to slap it together. That's going to allow us to resync any issues that we might have with sound combined with the video. So that this slap, as we close this the slate here, we're going to get a sound report that's going to go through their mics. We're going to hear that through their mics as well as see it here, and we're able to sync all the way back to the frame based on that. Now, a couple other things that you can see here. Is that we have this little gray card down here. This is what's called a gray card plus, and Kodak makes it. And what this does here is it allows us to sync the cameras if there's any issues. The gray, we can try to get a lot of these back together. It turned out that this was very important because we kind of shot, the colors were a little off between the 900 and the 950, and so we were using these pretty heavily along with the background green screen to kind of tie all this stuff back together. And so this gray, this gives us medium gray. This gives us the darkest blacks and the whitest whites. And this allows us to kind of, in some ways, resync the color. So that's what we're using that for. And there's one that's just called a gray card that we use a lot too. But this one's a gray card plus, and it's $35, and it's worth it. The other thing you're going to see here is this little time code that's sitting here. Now, what's going on is that we use... what we've been using up until recently is Snapseed Pro, and then we're now starting to use this program called iShowYou, which allows us to record screen captures. The problem that you have is that you have this screen capture that's doing whatever it's doing, and you need to resync it with all the camera work so that everything, when you're cutting back and forth in multicam, all of it synced back up. So what we do is we made this little time code right here that we just simply play. So we start the screen recording here, and then we hit play on this movie, and then we turn it around so that the cameras can see it. And that way all of them have the screen grab and the cameras all have the time code floating around on them all at the same time. That allows us to resync everything back. And technically, if everything worked, we should be able to resync everything that way. But we use a little bit of both just to make sure that the redundancy is oftentimes a very healthy thing. So anyway, that's it. Hopefully that was useful for you. We're still learning. We're still figuring this stuff out, but we thought we'd give you a little update on what we're doing and where we're going. If you have any questions or if you want to know more, definitely go up to twit.tv and check out Mac Break. Check out our section there and ask questions. You can give us comments as well. And hopefully we'll be able to get back to you and do a couple more of these movies. If you like this movie, definitely let us know. And we didn't think it was that big of a deal when we did it. In fact, the first one was just because I didn't have anything else to put up. But if you like this kind of stuff, let us know. And also, if you like this kind of behind-the-scenes stuff, make sure to check out Inside the Black Box, which has lots of this kind of stuff for more feature film and visual effects stuff. That's also on twit.tv. That's it. Thanks so much.
You're playing for your team, and you're playing for this community.
One, two, three, fire!
My favorite thing about Bandon is I get to hang out with my friends every day, no matter what, because they live so close.
The generation coming up can't go learn like I learned. It just can't do it. It's outdated. It's done. Forget it.